Ask any leader and they'll tell you, managing people is one of the toughest parts of leadership, and it's only getting harder. Recruiting and retaining great team members is a growing challenge. In fact, according to the National Nonprofit HR Survey, nonprofit turnover is averaging between 20 and 25% annually. And for development professionals, it's even worse. On average, development professionals stay in their roles just 18 months. So how can we create stable, thriving workplaces when the workforce is so unpredictable? It's stressful, but don't worry. There are strategies that can help you navigate these challenges. So let's discuss them today. Let's talk about turnover. Let's talk about life and leadership. Welcome to Life and Leadership with Kim Williams. I'm the CEO of Interfaith Family Services, a nonprofit that provides housing, help, and hope for families facing homelessness. I'm also the principal of Kim Williams Consulting, a change management firm that empowers nonprofits to change for the better. And I'm the author of Diary of an Insecure CEO, How I Went from Feeling Rejected to Raising Millions. I've led through a variety of organizational issues while raising over $50 million to fight poverty and learning a lot in the process. I created this podcast to share those lessons and help you to successfully navigate life and leadership. So let's get started. Hello, leaders. How is life treating you? Well, my life is busy. It's the first quarter of our fiscal year and calendar year end, which means that we're in the midst of our fall campaign while promoting and preparing to host our annual Christmas store and working on all the holiday celebrations that come along with this time of year. But you know what? I've decided that I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to be intentional about enjoying each day to the best of my ability. And I'm going to be grateful for the team that I've been blessed to work with, which includes two new team members. So excited about that. I've hired a new executive assistant and finally hired a new development director after that position was vacant for about 9 months. Their additions have been a long time coming, and staffing this year was really my biggest struggle. And I want to talk about that today. As always, this episode has three parts. I'm going to start with a story about some things that I've struggled with from a staffing perspective. Then I'm going to give you some strategy and I'll end with spiritual encouragement. So let's get started. Today, I want to tell you about my year-long saga to find an executive assistant. Shortly after last fiscal year began, I promoted my former executive assistant to grants manager. I noticed her ability to successfully navigate the grant process while helping out with the vacancy. She also was really, really good at having a good temperament, attention to detail, and the trust factor that we needed for this role. So I reluctantly gave her up and gave her this new promotion for the good of the organization. Now, I've had a pretty good track record with my EAs. One lasted for about 5 years, and we're still really cool today. And the other one lasted for around 3 to 4 years before I promoted her as well. Then my last EA was in the role for about 18 months before I promoted her to grants manager. Historically, this really hasn't been a hard role for me to fill. However, with the challenges of today's workforce, I thought it was best to enlist in employment service and try out a few temps. For me, finding the right EA is really important, and I'm sure that's the same for you. Finding an EA or chief of staff is just critical for your success. In addition to having the right skills, you have to have the right chemistry. In many ways, my EA is a representation of me, so choosing the right person is incredibly important. With that in mind, I thought I would go through maybe one or two possible candidates, and I assumed that the process may take 3 to 6 months or so. So imagine my surprise when I went through about 8 candidates and the process took about a year. I know what you're thinking. You're probably wondering how much we paid and what our benefits look like. Well, our pay is competitive. I make sure of that. And we have excellent benefits, which include PPO medical, dental, and vision, 6 weeks of paid time off and holidays, as well as a 4-day work week and on-site daycare. So now that you know we have great benefits, you're probably wondering if I'm a tier to work with. Well, honestly, I'll admit I have pretty high standards. It's one of the reasons that Interfaith Family Services has one of the best, if not the very best, client outcomes in the city for fighting homelessness and poverty. It's also why we have an 85% long-term success rate for the families we serve. So yes, my standards are unapologetically high because the crisis of poverty is unrelentingly real. But for those who are a good fit, I would say the general consensus is that my team likes working with me, especially the more evolved version of me than I am today. I think that's why, with the exception of finding a new development director, the average tenure for my leadership team is 8 years, with the newest member of my team being with me the last 3 years. So that's why I was so perplexed as to why it was taking me so long to find a good EA, which again, I finally found, by the way. She's truly amazing. I think she's the real deal. She's proven to be an asset. And my leadership team, who knows me best, has given her the seal of approval. So I finally found her, but 12 months was a long time to find someone. And again, I can say that after a series of candidates who didn't quite fit the bill, hiring her was no accident. So after the last debacle of a person that I hired, or a situation, not a person, after the last debacle of a situation that I had for a temp that was serving as my EA, my former assistant took pity on me and agreed to help me out until I could come up with a new strategy for hiring the right one. Because clearly me leaving it to the employment service alone was not working. So I suspended my search for about 3 weeks and decided to take the time to really assess what working with me was like and how to do it successfully. So after much prayer and reflection and some really honest dialogue with my leadership team, I developed a strategy that not only helped me find the right EA, but also helped me identify a fantastic development director. So do you want to know what I did? Well, let's talk strategy. All right, so what was my strategy for finding a star in an unstable workforce? Well, it's a three-part strategy that, again, was incredibly helpful, not just for finding a really wonderful EA, but also for finding a development director, which was a big deal because that position was vacant for about 9 months. So let's walk through those three steps that I underwent to modify and revitalize the hiring process for me and for Interfaith. Well, strategy number one was this: be honest with yourself about your talents, needs, pet peeves, and expectations. You know, as I look back on my hiring challenges, the first thing I did was ask myself what I would ask someone if they were a consulting client or an executive coaching client. I asked myself, what do you really want and really need in this position? And guess what? The answer surprised me. Here's what's funny to everyone who's ever worked for me. I honestly thought I was pretty easygoing. And I thought I was an easy to please person. Now, before you laugh, hear me out. The reason why I thought I was pretty easygoing as an employer or as a leader was because I really actually am in my personal life. I really, really hate drama and I don't like conflict. Like, I'll have difficult conversations when they need to be had, but it's not my favorite thing in the world to do. I like things to be easy and carefree upon execution. And I honestly like simplicity. I like streamlined things and the environment to be clear, uncluttered, with very little chaos. So in my mind, that translated to being easygoing. But once I took a deeper dive in who I am and what I like in a work environment, I realized that while I like streamlined, simple, and clutter-free things, which sounds easy enough for me, there's a side B to that album. I also like really nice things, and I'm a little fancy when it comes to my overall taste. So while I might like it simple, I also like it high quality. And while I might like things streamlined, I also like them to be exquisite and impactful. And while I may be an introvert, I also do speak and interact with others pretty well, and I like for my conversations to be meaningful, enjoyable, and a little entertaining. So what I'm willing to give up in quantity, I more than make up for when it comes to my expectation for quality. So I'm not really easygoing. I'm more excellence oriented. And for that, when I shifted my perspective, it also shifted the requirements pretty considerably. Then there are other things that I really didn't give much credence to before I went through this evaluation process. So one of the things that I really didn't consider was the fact that I am very much tech savvy and tech dependent. Now, I really didn't consider myself tech savvy because I was comparing myself to my kids and how they use tech. And here's the thing. Not only are they much younger than me, but my youngest son is an engineer. My oldest son has a master's in business and knows all the latest business software. And then my daughter-in-law is a social media strategist by trade. And my baby girl knows everything that an iPhone can do. So when I compared myself to them, I may not be the leader of tech savviness. But when I compare myself to the average nonprofit professional, I kind of am. I do everything online. I schedule and manage my calendar throughout Outlook. I haven't used a paper planner or even relied on one in more than a decade. Our team at Interfaith has been using online project management software for our workflow for at least 5 years, and we use Salesforce pretty regularly for our database management needs. We conduct a lot of virtual meetings regularly. We kind of communicate constantly online. I take my laptop literally everywhere I go for note-taking and for immediate task integration in our project management software. And I use AI for everything from document preparation to presentation development. So it's when it comes to my job as a nonprofit professional, I'm really into tech. Now, outside of Interfaith, I also am into tech. I've been building and managing my own websites, creating my own logos, doing my own graphic design for my post and my e-newsletter, and even producing my own podcast for, you know, this entire time that I've pretty much been in business. So yeah, I'm tech savvy, which means that anyone working with me has to, at minimum, be able to keep up and at maximum, know more in order to add value. And then finally, one of the realizations that I made about myself is that I move really fast. I got that from my grandfather and my dad. We weren't even allowed to walk slow around them. We were expected to not only do things well, but to do them quickly. And I've always moved at that pace. So after observing myself for about 3 weeks, taking stock of how I worked and having some really good conversations with my leadership team, I learned that I've been focused on the wrong things when it comes to hiring. I'd been more focused on basic skills that made the average person qualified for the position instead of the specialized skills that would make them more qualified to work with someone like me. And that brings me to strategy number two. Strategy number two is this: develop a must-have list. Once you've completed an honest assessment of who you are as a leader and what you need, the next step is to create a must-haves list based on who you are and what you do and what your organization really needs. Now, once I completed my must-have list, it became clear to me why some of the previous candidates that I'd hired were not successful. They had great personalities and what appeared to be basic qualifications, but they did not have the specific skill set, style, or even personality traits that were unique to my needs and my company's culture. So here's an example of how my list was unique to me. I value stability, resilience, and loyalty. Therefore, one of my new must-haves was that whoever I hire will need to have worked for one company for a minimum of 3 years in their work history, and 5 years being more ideal. I like to see that someone was able to stick with a company through a variety of seasons and maybe even coworkers. The second thing that I realize is that I'm not good at guessing what people are thinking. I don't always read subliminal messages really well. So one of my must-haves is excellent communication skills and conflict resolution skills. I really can't have people around me who are conflict avoidant, because while I don't like conflict, I don't run away from it if I find it necessary. Again, I told you that I move quickly, I speak fast, I work pretty fast, I get things done in pretty much record time. So one of my must-haves is that whoever I hire has to have the ability to thrive in a fast-paced environment. And then my moving fast means that I don't always catch all the details, which means that I need people around me who are more detail-oriented and have the ability to anticipate needs. The other thing that I realized, because I'm so like into tech, that one of my must-haves is that whoever I hire has to have excellent computer skills, be proficient in Outlook, Microsoft Office Suite, and the use of project management software. And finally, because my assistant is a representative of me and will attend like various meetings and events with me, one of my must-haves is a professional voice and a professional look. So believe it or not, these things weren't really on my list before. There are things that I knew I wanted, but I was really looking at pretty much basic things and looking at the fact that if they'd worked as an EA somewhere else for a good period of time, they could probably work for me. But I wasn't really looking into the nuances that made working with me work. So from there, I began developing interview questions that would allow me to assess the presence or absence of my must-haves. And it was a game changer. I saw it immediately in my recent hires. The skills that make all the difference to me and my colleagues were either present or they weren't. They were either visible or they weren't. And so this really made the hiring process a lot easier. I had more clarity. But then when I was able to hire the right person, it made the onboarding process so much smoother. And that's where I really saw the fact that these new techniques were working. And this takes me to our final strategy, strategy number three. Develop a screening system that ensures the presence of your must-have list. One of the most impactful things that I did was to develop a comprehensive screening process that tested for the presence or absence of the key skills that I was looking for. This allowed me to critically evaluate a candidate's alignment with our needs before being influenced by their personality. So our screening process consisted of the following. First, we monitored for the very basics. Are they on time? Are they dressed professionally? Are they prepared? All the things that you typically look for. But next, we implemented a preliminary test. So we have them take a technology proficiency test that's unique to Interfaith and the systems that we use on a regular basis. It also includes a professional communication component that ensures that they're able to compose letters, write emails, convey ideas in a professional manner and in a relatively quick manner. And then finally, it included a pre-interview survey in which they shared their thoughts, beliefs, and history related to their work environments in the past and what they want in an environment or culture. So this helps us to evaluate, number one, their written communication skills, but also before they've had a chance to kind of play off their interviewer, they're giving you what should be their thoughts about the environment they want to work in. So these three things, obviously monitoring for the basics, but creating a preliminary test and a pre-interview survey, I mean, it was a game changer for us. We had a few candidates that even took themselves out of the running during the preliminary test. They realized that they didn't have the skills we were looking for, and they were like, maybe this isn't the right fit for me. We also had other people that once I reviewed their pre-interview survey and their test, I was like, unfortunately, you didn't make it to the interview phase of the interview, and we thank you for your time. But That way, it wasn't really a waste for them or for me. And we let them know in advance that they would be tested, so it wasn't a surprise. So let's review the hiring strategies that we just talked about for hiring the right people and hopefully minimizing turnover. Number one, create an honest assessment of yourself, your skills, and your need, or not create, complete an honest assessment of your skills, you, and your needs. Number two, create a must-have list that goes beyond basic requirements, but also identifies the things that are unique to you and your organization's culture. And third, create pre-screening criteria that critically evaluates the presence or absence of your must-haves. So listen, I hope you found this helpful. Let me know how these strategies work for you, or if you'd like to schedule a hiring strategy session to go through these techniques and create a personalized process for you and your organization. Well, I've told you my story and I've shared my strategy. Let's end with a little spiritual encouragement. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie together, they can keep each other warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This scripture makes it clear. It highlights the power of partnership and teamwork, not just in good times, but especially in the difficult times. No one succeeds alone. Not even the most independent, introvert personalities can make it by themselves. We need people to help us and to lift us up. Sometimes staffing issues, workplace betrayals, and hiring challenges can make you feel like, hey, I'm just going to give up and work alone. But doing so will greatly limit your ability to build, expand, and level up, not to mention your ability to survive the bad times. We all need help. However, the key is having the right person. We don't need just anyone. We need teammates who are capable, confident, and have character. So I want to pray for you that you find the right people. I prayed for nearly a year to find the right assistant and development director, and God taught me a lot of things about myself in the process. The time, while really long, was not wasted. Like I said, I learned so much in the process, including the strategies that I'm sharing with you today. So keep praying, keep looking, keep believing. Don't go it alone. God has the right people on their way to help you. Now let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come just thanking you for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your mercy, for your kindness. Thanking you for every way that you have come through for us. Father God, for all of my fellow leaders that are looking for the right people to help them and come alongside them and make their visions a reality and really have a heart to serve and a heart to help, I pray that you would send the right people. I pray that you would give myself and other leaders the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the grace to be able to recognize the right people and treat them well when we get them. Father God, I pray that you would bring people from the north, south, east, and west, however you need to bring them, to the leaders who are doing your work and have a vision for real and lasting change. And Father God, I thank you for doing it. And I give you all the praise and all the glory, even in the waiting. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's tips can be found on my website, kimwconsulting.com. Just click the resource tab in the menu. You can also find information about my consulting services and upcoming events, and subscribe to my monthly Life and Leadership newsletter. If you have any questions that you want me to answer on my podcast, message me on Instagram at @leadwithkim. If you found this podcast helpful, please share, rate, and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and remember, change is inevitable, but changing for the better isn't. Change wisely.